Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is Dave Gibson, and today's show is about the music and frequencies and musical intervals of our relationship to everything. So our intention is for that relationship to be a spiral that connects to nature. So before we start, though, I want to let you know that we've got an open house. If you happen to be in the area, we have an open house tomorrow at the Institute from 1 to 5. We'll be doing some meditations, talking about the various aspects of sound healing, and also putting people on the sound table in our new sound chair. So if you happen to be in the area, just show on up at around 1 or whenever you can make it over. And the other thing that's happening is, from June 8th through the 20th, we have a summer intensive that is 13 days in a row from 10 in the morning to 9:30 at night. And so if you want to fly in and take the intensive, it's really just ideal for that. We have a hotel right next to the Institute that you can stay at. And it's really, really cool because you get immersed in sound for 13 days. And we have just about all of our instructors teach a little portion of what they do. And if you want to continue and go further, you can take the night classes or you can finish online. We've got it set up so you can do the rest of the classes online. And we set it up so especially any of the experiential classes are going to be at the intensive besides the lecture. And you can also finish up the classes, again, by just taking them at the Institute. So that's happening. And in the meantime, we're still doing research with Parkinson's patients. They had a had a guy in yesterday who was a Las Vegas singer. And when you have Parkinson's, it often constricts the voice. So we put him on the sound table for about an hour and a half. And he got up and just started belting out a Frank Sinatra song. It was just really sweet. I mean, it's completely freed up. It was really amazing just to see it. And so we've been having, with our research, people have been having, as far as their symptoms, they're going from around a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 down to a 2 with symptoms. It's about average. Sometimes people's symptoms go away completely. Sometimes not quite as much, but it's about 7 to 2 is, seems to be about average. Everything from getting rid of tremors to getting rid of stiffness and freeing up slow movement, which is really, really difficult. And so if you know anybody in the area that has Parkinson's, let them know about us, and they're welcome to come in. It's going to be probably doing another week or so, a week or two here of research. And then we're applying for the grant with the Michael J. Fox Foundation to see if we can figure out what's going on. Our main concept, our main thought here, is part of it is the vibration of the table. But it's also what we believe, is this is our hypothesis that we'll be testing out in the research. We believe that it's actually bringing people into a state of bliss. When you go into a state of bliss or unconditional divine love or just a total state of like, wow, then something happens to your system that completely harmonizes your system. It's like getting in touch with spirit. It completely synchronizes everything in your body. And in Parkinson's, tremors go away. And so that's our main thought, is to really see if we can get research to really show that that's what's going on. And then ultimately to show how we can actually put anybody besides Parkinson's patients into that state at any time, especially with feedback using galvanic skin response or heart monitors or voice analysis. So you can have a unit that actually do a reading on you and then be able to immediately play sounds or music that would take you into this state of bliss. because that's where we all want to be anyway, you know. Because when you're in the state of love, everything seems to flow better. You know? So today's show is really an exploration, because this is not really something I've been thinking about for ages and ages. Part of it is, but it's really something I'm just starting to explore in much more detail. So we're really going to be exploring this, at least I'm going to be exploring it as we go here. Because the idea here, this is the basic concept. You know, we have a lot of different relationships to things, to thoughts, to ourselves, to organs, and to others. And the basic concept that we all understand and all pretty much agree is that everything is vibration. And if everything is vibration, that means everything is frequency. It may not be a sound frequency, but everything is a frequency at some level. And if it's a higher frequency of electromagnetism or even etheric field, then we generally believe that you can translate that into a sound frequency. So it has a correlating sound frequency. Sometimes you have to octavize it down, which means half the frequency, because when you're half, you go half the frequency, it's still the same pitch. So there are all these different relationships we have with the world that are based on frequency. The first relationship is that of the actual frequency. So it's what frequency you are, because there are frequencies. You could even say there are frequencies that have relationships to archetypal healing, archetypal emotions, archetypal states of consciousness, such as joy, divine love, and happiness, just a full range of states of consciousness, gratitude, appreciation. So there are certain frequencies that we have, and we've talked many times about our root soul frequency. In fact, again, I go to my root soul frequency when I say that. I can feel it at the base of my spine, my root soul frequency. You know, and so there's that frequency. But then there's also the timbre, or the tone, which is really made up of a harmonic structure. It's really a harmonic structure. And so there's, you know, very pure tones, and very rich tones. There's also tones that have more odd harmonics in them. And tones that have more even harmonics in them. So when you look at our chakra system and all of the different frequencies within our system, we essentially have a certain sound, which is not just a frequency, it's a whole array of frequencies, which is a harmonic structure. And that's really our template, our own soul template, which is, again, very complex. In fact, it's like a full symphony of frequencies that go from everything from our soul frequency to our physical frequency, our mental frequency, our emotional frequency, and then the frequency of each organ, the frequency of each chakra, the frequency of even down to your toe. Okay, so every frequency is related to that root frequency, creating a whole symphony of frequencies that I'm referring to as a harmonic structure. Okay? So it's a very complex range of frequency. Some people talk about it as the rays from Alice Bailey. And if you do a search for seven rays in Wikipedia, you'll see all the different seven rays. I believe that's very similar to the Enneagram as well, the different frequencies that we have in our system. You know, and then there's the frequencies that come into our system based on our astrology. There's, you know, frequencies even based on whether we're male or female. I mean, there's just all these different frequencies that come to us, I guess, from our ethnicity even to a certain extent as well. So there's full range of frequencies that make up our template. Mm-hmm. But then there's the musical intervals that are happening between those frequencies. And we're going to go into those in just a bit here and talk about the different musical intervals, because that's kind of my main focus today. But besides the musical intervals, there's also the changing musical intervals within us. You can look at it this way. Actually, first of all, there's the changing frequencies, which create melodies. And there's the changing musical intervals, which create basically the chords that of a song that we move through our day, and moment to moment, in fact. And then there are the musical intervals and chords that we there's also the rhythm and the different rhythms within with our musical intervals and our frequencies that are changing. Basically, we're talking about the music that we live in. And this is really the main thing that I realized just a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's not as critical as the frequency, although I believe the root frequency is our key to our health. I think it is also as critical as what song are you playing, not only in your head and in your thoughts, but what song are you singing with your voice? Because everybody is singing as they speak. And it's obvious when you do, we can actually look at that with a voice bio. With the voice bio, we can actually see which note you hit as you speak. And some people get really high and really low. Some people are on the same note at the same time. They never really change. They even say that when somebody is dying, they just stay on the same note all the same time. They never change from that note. You can see that in the voice bio when somebody is really sick. It's just one note. They don't go up and down as much. But it's not just the up and down. It's like, what type of melody are you singing when you speak? You know, are you singing an up melody? Or are you singing a sad melody? Or are you singing a stressed melody? Or are you singing a critical melody? Or are you singing a melody that is connected to love and spirit? What kind of melody are you singing? And it's so funny because this seems so obvious, but I've never seen any research as to the melodies that we speak and the different emotions, because it seems obvious that different emotions have very obvious melodies. I mean, if you look at the aspects of melody in the musical intervals, you have this is musical intervals, and it gives you an idea of the melodies, because I'm not going to be singing here. I'll play a song in just a little bit. But when it comes to the musical intervals, let me pull up my notes here. Probably the most harmonious, well, in fact, definitely the most harmonious musical interval is unison. That means two people or two things that are sounding the exact same note. So if I play, you know, a note on the keyboard here, or if you're toning with somebody and you both hit the same note, or if you're in love and you hit that same note, that's the most harmonious there is. And so, you know, if you take that into the realm of music, then you can actually be singing the same song together. And that's really probably the most harmonious. Now, that's not necessarily, a lot of people, of course, say it's nice to be harmonious, but it's also nice to have differences as well that actually bring you into different realms. So you're not always in the same realm. So maybe you don't want the exact same melody with a person all the time. But on the other hand, it sure is nice when you're both really harmonized. If not just the same note, but harmonizing. The next level is octave, and that might be the main unison between a male and female, because generally the female voice is one octave higher than a male voice. So when you're singing the same together, it's often a octave, one octave higher. And you know, generally means it's meditative, it's a calm octave. Generally it's like the calming and interval. And then there's the musical fifth. The musical fifth is, so if we go from C to G, so it's so the fifth leads us back. So it's like going to the sweetest place away from the home root and then coming back. Okay? And musical fifth is often channels that activates power and emotion. It's a pivotal interval which can bring you back to the one and to the octave, also creating a full circle. So it's really a harmonious interval. Let's see, a little bit more about them. It's passage. It's the passage of the inner to the outer. And your creative potential. It's also about euphoria and joy. And harmonically, it's at peace. Then there's the fourth, which is about awakening of the heart to issues causing one to feel unpleasant. It's using Gregorian chant. It's associated with weight awakening. It's more like, third, which is really the one that is used in most love songs. It's got a great sweetness to it, and it's also associated with perfection and divinity. It's often in tons of love songs, and it brings you into inner emotion and psychic life. It's also associated with majestic nobility. Check it out here. So the musical third. Then there's the musical second, which is often about tension. It's like, however, there's one song that my friend has, which is actually just a whole song of going from the first to the second. It's like, it's a devotional song, actually. So it's not always about tension. But you play those two notes together, and they do create a binaural beat that actually creates a good amount of tension. Those are some of the intervals. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I just wanted to touch on some of them, because what I want to do now is really tune you into this. The whole purpose of this show is really to get you to start thinking about the music that you have going on throughout your day. There's an exercise we do in the classes online and at the Institute that is really cool. It's toning the sound of our day. Let me give you an example. I'm going to make the sound of my day today. Okay. Let me tune into it here. Okay, here's my day. Really good to get really in tune with what music helps you with what moods. You know, because I think a lot of people don't play music because they don't know how to choose it. If you choose the wrong music, it doesn't work at all. You need to know where you want to go. Do you want to go to a happy place? Do you want to just go to even a sad place? Which is fine. Sometimes it's fine to move through some sadness. Do you want to go through just an even place? You know, what type of music do you want to put on to really help with your mood? But here's another very important technique, and that is, regardless of where you are and whether you have music to play, you can always tone. You can either do an ah, or any of the vowel sounds, ah, oo, o, om, even e. And any consistent note will help change your song, because it sets up a whole nother consistent song. Of course, if you add your intention or a certain energy to that tone, like you think about gratitude, the frequency of gratitude while you're doing it. Here, I'll do the frequency of gratitude. Or if you're really into it, you want to, I mean, sometimes hard, and gratitude's easier to go to. If you want to go to, like, joy, you know, you could actually really go for it, you know. Let's do joy. Of course, if you're a singer and you have songs that you know, you can just sing them. The other aspect that's really cool is to learn chants, learn mantras. And those are some of the best. When you really get those down, you can just sing a chant or a mantra, and that will shift your energy drastically. So it's about being present with your music and really hearing what the song would be like in your thoughts. And then using these techniques of sound and music, I mean, crystal bowls work. Crystal bowls are wonderful. Tuning forks work. Anything that makes sound, you know, even a kitty cat purring on your lap works for me. Any sound. Or the best. I forgot to mention the very best one. That's nature sounds. You go out in nature and just listen to the sounds of the wind, of the ocean, of the birds, the crickets, just some little sounds just throughout nature. Those are probably the best to get you out of your song that you have. Even just walking outside, you know, can change, get you out of your melody. Okay. So then the next step is the songs that you sing with someone. That's really interesting. I just plugged in the power cord to the computer and I got a buzz on the phone. That is the weirdest thing. Okay. So the let me unplug that. It's bugging me. Huh. So the interesting thing is, like, you know, when you're in a relationship or even dating or whatever, and you're looking at how you fit together in a relationship, first of all, there's the resonance of your root soul frequency. If you have the same root soul frequency, I think of that as chemistry. That's chemistry. Because then it's like that person's humming at the same frequency you're humming at. And it's like, I used to, you know, think it was something else, but I now tend to think it's just they have the same frequency. Because that, I've really noticed chemistry with anybody that's a B, you know, it really, really happens. Not that you have to have that perfect unison or octave, but a musical fifth would be fine. Even a third, who knows? I don't know what the perfect relationship is of root frequencies, but it's interesting. If you have a musical third, maybe there's going to be more love in a relationship. I don't know. It's really interesting to look at that. What is the musical interval between your frequency and another person's frequency? And, you know, even if you don't hear it as a musical interval, you'll feel it as an emotion between you and that other person, because that musical interval is there. Then, again, though, it's like, now, what about the melody that you're singing together? Okay. Well, each of us has our full repertoire of melodies that go on in our inside us. It's like our full iTunes layout of melodies inside us. And those range from really sweet melodies to really happy melodies to really sad melodies to a full range of fear and stress and anxiety and all the melodies that aren't so melodic, but they're still a song. And we all have our full range. You can think about your full range of melodies. What is your full range of melodies in your normal day-to-day life, or over a period over the last few months, for example, or month, unless you've just changed drastically in the last month? What is your range of melodies? Are they deep? Are they always happy? Are they a full range or kind of a limited range? How harmonious are they? How sweet are they? Do you like them? That's a good question. Do you like your melodies? And then you've got the melodies of another person. Their full range. Normally, you would think, obviously what happens is melodies sync up. So if you got a happy melody, well, I guess you could start with, if you fall in love and you got a love melody, that's where the main melodies sync up. It's not just a melody, it's a rhythm also. And often those rhythms have to sync up as well. And even, different age groups, the rhythms are going to be different. Somebody's like, much older is going to have often a slower rhythm, but it varies. Maybe you got a person that's more active that's older. And so you got different rhythms that sync up as well. And so you've got the melodies that will sync in love. And then there's these full range of other melodies that either sync up or don't sync up. And here's the tricky part, is when you come across your partner or someone you're in a relationship with, this could even be someone you're not in a loving relationship, it could be just a business relationship, or anybody you come across. You come across that person, and they're in a different melody. Okay. And you got your melody going on. And so if you're present enough to really notice the melody that you are in and check out the melody they are in, then the question becomes, who's going to shift? Are you going to meet at a melody in between? Or is one person going to shift into the other person's melody? Or are you going to just create a whole new melody altogether? Now, it's interesting, because if someone is in a sad or a melody that is really kind of, I think it was down. And I'm really in a melody that's really up. Now, on one respect, I would like to stay up. On another respect, I would like to go down and help that person come up. I don't really want to go down and be in that melody completely. If it's a really, I mean, although, let me give you an example where I would. If, say, someone just had a friend or a family member die, I'm going to go down into that melody with them. I'm not going to try to get them up, or I'm not going to, you know, be about shifting. But if it's another melody that I don't want to be in, then either I'm going to shift or I'm just going to leave. I'm going to walk away because I don't want to be in that melody. And so really what it becomes is, how flowing are you for shifting your melody? Ideally, I mean, you need to honor your melody, but if you're in a melody you don't like, you don't need to stay there. Okay? If you're one in one you don't like, you can honor your melodies, but if you're in one you don't like, you don't stay there. So then, in a sweet, loving relationship, what happens is one person will help lead that other person to the next higher melody. They might go into it for a bit, and then they go into a little higher melody. Or they help put a perspective on something. Or they add love to it. And they shift that melody by just adding another melody that is more harmonious. This is all obvious, but I'm really starting to think about it. And, you know, technically, we're using very specific musical intervals to do this shift. And, you know, I mean, you can't just go from to wee. You know, it's like, it's funny, there's, when it comes to melodies, there's rules. You can't jump from one melody to another too far. It just sounds weird. You know, it's like somebody playing a really happy song, you know. It's turn that off. That's not where I'm at. So you have to do a shift, and there are musical intervals that you can slowly shift that melody up. You know, it's like what's Esther Hicks and her whole group, Abraham. Abraham talks about, you know, you can't jump from one emotion to a really high emotion. You have to go step by step. And I think that's the same musically as well. So what I really like, and this is where I'm kind of headed with the whole thing, is the spiral. Around the Institute, there's a general feeling that the vortex of a spiral, or a spiral vortex, which is a spiral that changes over time, is really the key pattern within nature. And when you start creating melodies, not only melodies that spiral, but also that shift in a spiral, that is getting back in touch with nature. So you might spiral down into real sadness, and then you go back up into And, you know, it's the song that I played so many times here, Unconditional Love, is exactly that. It's the saddest song in the world at the bottom, but at the top, where it gets really intense, it's like power. It's like, wah, it's really power, taking that sad love, sorrow and moving it into power. So that's what the way I think of it. And that's the way, if you think of a spiral, is what you're looking at. Which way is your song spiraling? Is it bringing you up or bringing you down? And then look at how you're going to work with the spiral of someone else's song as well. And think of it as where it is and then spiral up or down from there. Sometimes going down is the deal. Sometimes you got to go down. And that's the one thing about spirals. If you're always going up, you get tired. You got to come down as well. And that's the full range. I almost think of it as spiraling up and down through the chakras in a way. Okay, so I've now got a song that I want to play that has different emotions in it. The first is, this song has three sections. The first song is about stillness, or first section. The second song is about conflict or polarity, the second section. And the third section is about bliss and love and light. So check this out, and we'll be right back. Go ahead and play that if you will, Don. So here's the final thought. The final thought is, what would be your ideal musical day? Your ideal musical day. Let me give you an idea. And this is something you can do. This would be your homework. And that is to make the sound of your ideal day in the morning. Let me give you an example of what an ideal day would be, as far as what I could come up with. So hold that thought of a perfect spiraling melody in tune with nature that regenerates and energizes you in a really sweet way. Be present with that and look for it. And may you enjoy it throughout the evening, into the rest of the weekend, throughout the week, weeks, months to come.